Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Shrewell. Tonight, I have two very special guests, Bob McGuire and Lala Bright. Welcome, Bob and Lala.
Hello.
Hello.
I am very pleased to have you with us tonight. I'll just kind of start with the introductions. Lala, you describe yourself as an artist, experiencer, a contactee, an abductee, a medium, a remote viewer, a starseed, and a future ghost. And Bob, where do you come into all this?
So I'm a scientist. I began hearing details about UFOs inside my former government job. I was in the intelligence community for 27 years, and I got involved. And in April of this past year, my mother began to pass away. Lala and I were Facebook friends, and she reached out and said, "When your mom passes, I'll give you a reading." So I thought, well, this is a little weird. So, but my mother was in her room, according to my brothers, and her helper began talking to her deceased relatives. So soon after my mother passed, I asked Lala to give me a reading, and it's just gone from there because the reading was utter perfection.
Wow. And I can say, in my own experience, when you have a true medium make contact, it is an awesome experience.
Oh, I bawled like a baby.
It can be very affecting. Yes, it can be very intense. Let's see. I mean, we've got a ton of ground, which we probably will not cover all tonight. But let's kind of start as close to the beginning as we can. Lala, what can you tell us about your paranormal experiences? Did this start at a young age?
Yeah, I was born with it. I've been saved by a spirit. When I was little, I had an asthma attack in my sleep. And my mom woke up to hearing wooden footsteps down the hallway. My dad was out of town. And she saw a woman with no face and a bonnet and a dress on, put her hands over me. And I started to breathe. I was still asleep. And the lady faded away. And my mom was not one to talk about that kind of stuff or really believe in it. But she swore by that. I could always hear people deceased. When I was six or five, my neighbor that I called Grandma Cheyenne, she passed away. My parents couldn't make it to the funeral, so later on we tried to find her grave. And the place is huge. We have pictures of it. There's got to be thousands of graves there.
I think there are 10,000 graves in the graveyard.
And wow. So we go there. They're looking around. I'm over by myself, and I hear her say, "I'm over here." And I walk over and I find her and I tell them, and they look at each other like, yeah, I was five. I couldn't really read that well. So they're looking at me like, what's going on? It's just always been like that. It's always been normal to me, but I never really talked too much about it. It kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's kind of the I see dead people type of thing in real life, is it not?
Very, very much.
Wow. Yeah. And you've also have had abduction experiences.
Yeah. So did my dad. But my parents and I are O negative. And I think we've been followed. I recently woke up and I had a triangle bruise on my arm.
Not to interrupt, but that's quite recently. That's like, is that the picture that you posted on Facebook?
Yeah. And then a day later, I have a video of an orb going into my arm where the bruise is. So I don't know what that was, but just strange things. You know, when I was little, I thought it was all ghosts. I didn't realize they were also aliens.
Yes, so that is That is fascinating that there would be, you know, different entities or at least different manifestations of something intervening in your life in very different ways.
Right. The only way I knew how to, and still to this day, if I can't always see them, with ghosts, I get a little bit of fear still. I can't help it. With aliens, I am way too calm. I usually have anxiety in general, but with aliens, it's just like they gave me an alien Xanax or something. You know, but I hear that that's common. People, it's a thing that happens to people. I've seen UFO, I've seen crafts, and I'm looking at it, and it's like, I'm not freaking out, and I should be.
I'll give you a recent example, if you don't mind. We were driving down a four-lane highway not far from where we live, and a triangle UFO went right above our car and flew in lockstep with us above our car. So she was as calm as she can be. And normally she's really nervous driving, but I was really excited. I says, oh, look, here comes something from this military base over here. And the triangle turned around. I says, okay, it's gone the other way. Can you make a U-turn? She very calmly made a U-turn. We turned around. The military vehicle kept coming, but the triangle UFO had vanished.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But she's just as cool and calm as she can be when that triangle UFO is exciting me to jump up and down out of my seat.
Oh, yes. Well, hey, all things considered, I'd rather be paranormally calm than be completely freaked out, you know, because some people's abduction experiences, you know, are absolutely terrifying to them.
Yeah.
And if they're cooling you out, that might be at least a limited good thing, you know?
Yeah. So if I've had one experience that was really scary, and a lot of women I've heard go through it. And I should have been scared, but they did calm me down. I thought I was having a dream, and I woke up to something sexual happening to me, and I couldn't explain it. And it scared the crap out of me, but my body was calm and my mind was calm, but I was panicking at the same time. It was really strange.
Oh, yes. And that sounds like a traumatic experience. And I certainly don't want to pry into details that you might not be comfortable with, but was this more like a medical experience or more like actually a physical being doing things to you?
So it was... Well, I've had dreams of medical things happening, and then later on, I'll go through the airport and I'll set off the metal detector. And I finally, after a few years, I asked them, I said, can I see what you're looking at?
Uh-huh.
And it's about the size of a piece of rice in my femur, left side. And then Bob, he used his science
trifield meter.
And it picked up where that was. But also it picked up something in my forehead, too. And I get headaches all the time.
The human body does not transmit radio frequency emissions. And we turned off everything we could in our house that sent out an RF emission. And I held the trifield meter up next to her body. And it localized right over the places where she has pain. And it had 0.2 milliwatts of emitted radiated power per square meter. That is a lot of power coming out of a human being.
Wow. So an actual implant
transmitting burst transmissions.
And I don't expect that you have a nailed down answer here, but what do you think? Do you think that is a non-human entities that put that in there, or something to do with the government, or something else?
I never knew about my labs until Bob. I had no clue. I never researched any of this stuff before. I never talked about it. I always thought it was aliens tracking me because of what I can do and what I am. But he says that there are people that the government takes and does the same. They work with aliens or they do the same thing.
Do you mind if I recall one memory you told me? Okay, so please. She remembers a person in a military uniform observing her and others with a clipboard in their hand. That was all I needed to know that it was a MyLabs.
Wow. Wow. That is fascinating.
And alien entities were also in the room.
Wow. Which would tie in with a lot of people's experiences of military abductions, mm-hmm. of some level of cooperation between human governmental agents and non-human entities, and an interest on the part of the government going back at least to MKUltra in finding people who have psychic abilities in a broad sense and wanting to experiment on them and wanting to see what they can get out of them and possibly be looking to weaponize them. Mm-hmm. That, wow.
Okay. May I expand on an answer?
Oh, please.
Gave her? You ask a question and I can tell. Mm-hmm. Okay. The alien entity had intercourse with her.
Okay. So that's what I woke up to. And like my legs were closed. Nobody was in the house, but it was happening. And I can't explain that. I after a few seconds, I snapped out of whatever daze I was in and I started to panic and then it stopped. But I never talked about that kind of stuff because I didn't know what was going on, but I told Bob eventually, and he said that does happen.
She has memories of being in a room which looks to her like a barn, where she's laying on a log. You know, this is some kind of screen memory. And she has memories of trying to take care of small children. You did this, all of this. She just doesn't know any of these stories because she's not investigated any of it. And of course, me being interested in all this UFO stuff and having lots of friends, I recognized her, what she calls dreams, but they're actually nearly suppressed memories of her experiences.
Well, I woke up with that one.
Yeah.
And it was happening.
No, with the kids.
Oh, well, that's the, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you woke up to the intercourse. Yes. But yeah. I thought you do have memories, which were dreams, it's dreamlike to you of the kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Hiding under a table and other stuff. It's just classic.
Wow. I was going to get to that. Whether you had had any experiences that involved alien-human hybrids and being, and I don't want to be too probing. You don't have to talk about anything you don't want to. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to go into any level of detail you're not comfortable with. But some people have experienced being impregnated and then having that pregnancy strangely end without the physical things that would usually happen, and then later being presented with a, for lack of a hybrid child, and being told that that's their child. I mean, that's been repeated by a number of experiencers. Is that something that you would say you've experienced?
I've only ever dreamed of two boys. Now, I have psychic dreams, so they're usually warnings. Things like that, vision dreams, or people that have passed come visit, or other energies come talk to me and give me information. And I do have recurring dreams of these two boys, and we're in a place that it doesn't look like it's a place I'm used to, or it's just a strange surroundings, and I always feel like I have to protect them. It's very odd. I can't explain it.
So to me, it appears that they've attempted to erase her memory of what she saw. And so it appears to her like a dream. But I cannot say that she has ever said anything to me when she recalls these things that sound like, I remember having a child they took from me and later showed me and told me it was mine. Mm-hmm. So it's hinted at. but it's not conclusive. So, and given what I have seen of her psychic abilities, she could be reading somebody else. We just don't know enough to tell the difference.
And that's important, that sometimes you're just not going to know, you know, and at least you don't know now. And it's better to, you know, just leave it open rather than, you know, set on a conclusion that, you know, you're not really sure of.
Right.
That is fascinating material.
One more thing which is related, and that's many, many people that we kind of know in this field, they come out having never met her and call her Starseed. That's why she put Starseed and other things, and just they don't know her and they call her Starseed. So what is it they know that we don't have actual first-person information about? But a lot of other people that consider themselves Starseed and or hybrids think she is one.
I do have one thing to say about that, if that's okay.
Oh, please.
Okay. So not to sound weird or anything, but I've always... Oh,
this is the place to sound weird. It's totally acceptable.
Okay. So I've always not... really felt at home ever. I've never fit in. And a couple years ago, I was just outside at night looking at the stars. And I just said out loud, where am I from? Where is home? And I went to bed and I had a dream and the dream said M56. And so I woke up and I Googled it. And that's what I found. I had no clue. I didn't know about
Messier objects.
Lyra and Palladian and Draco, and people believe in all this stuff. That's how I found out about it. I didn't know.
And so are you aware of Deb's Shakti?
I can't say that name is familiar to me.
She's a light worker, and she's done regressions for both of us.
She's amazing.
She's amazing, and she did Lala's regression, and during the regression, Lala identified herself as having been an alien.
Okay. That does not maybe seem as strange to me as you might think. I'm a large believer in reincarnation, and I believe that not all of us did our previous lives all on Earth.
Right.
Does that kind of square with that you may have had past lives as some other intelligent being that was not human?
I do feel that very much. Yeah. Yes. Even when I was little, I would say, I want to go home for no reason at all. I didn't even understand why I was saying it.
And in my regression, I had a past life as a member of an ancient tribe, which gray aliens came down and modified us. And by the end of my life, which she led me to, I could tell that my mind had changed.
Wow. That is a fascinating experience. Could you describe the regression process? Is this hypnotic? Is this meditative?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely hypnotic.
Okay,
she is an amazing hypnotist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it was just my personal experience. There are three sections to what she does. There's section A, section B, and section C. Section A and B, she lets you go where you want to go. And so I went to sit inside the body of and channel Neil Armstrong going to the moon on Apollo 11. And wow. I was like, every detail, I was him. The second one was me being a member of this tribe and experiencing the aliens modifying me and knowing I had changed by the end of my life. And during both of those, I said, am I really hypnotized? I'm saying this stuff, but it feels like I'm saying it. And then the third part, you go to your higher consciousness, which is the universal consciousness or your higher consciousness talking to you. And I receded into the background and it took over, and I knew I was hypnotized.
Wow. Yeah. Did you feel you were channeling, like, kind of a higher...
I felt I was channeling Neil Armstrong. I felt I was reliving a previous life, and then my higher consciousness was speaking through me in the third section.
Wow, that's a very interesting experience.
And Lala's was similar.
Oh, yes, yeah. Please.
Oh, well, real quick, I wanted to say that she is, I'm very, I guess, skeptic in my own way about people that are like me, but she is a pure soul. And also, every time we've gotten a reading from her or whatever it was, something, this being, and we have video of it, a being would show up on the camera and move the camera. This happened twice on different occasions when we talked to her. And also on video, there was something that looked like a little, I guess, fairy. I don't know what you would call it, bouncing in her hair. And it's on video. Like, this lady's magical.
Yeah, I want to second. Look, I'm a PhD in applied mathematics from Brown University and been an engineer and a scientist my whole life. And I'm sitting here agreeing with everything Lala has said. She's because real. I've experienced it.
Right.
Oh, I wouldn't challenge that at all. Many people who are highly educated, highly professional in the sciences, end up having some kind of encounter like this. And unfortunately, they usually hide it for professional reasons.
I hid it for a long time.
Oh, and sometimes you have to. I mean, you know, especially if you work for the government and have a clearance, they don't really want to hear about you interacting with fairies. Okay, that's not going to be good.
I had top secret special intelligence clearance until June of 2020.
Okay. Wow. Just to digress briefly, as much as you can tell us, what did you do for the government, Bob?
I worked for three-letter entities, and I did different things. I did cryptanalysis. I did operations in the field. I designed software-defined radio components, which were deployed all over the intelligence community. I had various jobs.
I travel
the world for the government.
Wow. Have you ever, and I don't mean this is necessarily the government, that's in any way, have either of you ever been approached by kind of a Men in Black type situation to tell you not to talk about something?
I have not. No, they've messed with my phone. When I encountered, I used to live by a government place in Maryland, and I would see helicopters following UFOs sometimes. So I would follow them, you know, that wasn't the brightest idea, but I got excited, you know.
I don't blame you. I'd probably do the same thing. Yes.
So in my case, I retired holding my clearance. And during the next 2 years, I had various opportunities offered to me to do things like work on Havana syndrome for the government, things like that.
Oh, and that'd be fascinating, yes.
No one was allowed to pick up my clearance. They were blocked. My clearance had a sticker on it that said, don't pass. So they didn't need the Men in Black me. They prevented me from doing my work.
Just simply administratively, that's not going to happen.
Exactly. And now, now I've been, if after 2 years you have not been activated, your clearance, my lifelong clearance since the early 1980s, evaporated, never to return.
I see. Well, that makes sense. I mean, I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that stuff the government does. Yes. Wow. There's a wealth of information here, and I want to try to touch on a lot of things. When you have the abduction experiences, Lala, do you always experience them as completely physical or sometimes as an out of body? Or do you know? I don't know.
I would say they either feel like a dream to me, or I was fully awake experiencing things, but then I would, once I'd see the craft, I would completely not remember that whole day after that. And that's happened a couple times to me. And my dad was involved with one in Florida by their house. My dad and I were taking out the trash at night, and all of a sudden, very large orange orbs, there were five of them that went into the shape of a V that were right over the roof, really close. And I said, "Dad, do you see that?" Now, he was like into this stuff big time. And he would have said, "Oh my God, that's awesome." But instead, he looked up at it. He said, "No," very robotically. He turned around like a robot and he went in the house. And he didn't, he never came back out. And he would have never done that to me. We were like best friends. And I looked back up at him, and all of a sudden, one by one, they went away. But then I don't remember anything after that. I don't remember going to the house, nothing.
Let me add one experience I think this might be relevant to your question. Do you mind?
Yeah.
Okay. So Lala was doing a reading for me, and I was attempting to find out about things like how the aliens operate their vehicles and things like that. So anyway, during this reading, I watched and listened to her while able to talk to me, have a complete out-of-body experience and travel. She traveled up and met, experienced the universal consciousness and felt huge feelings of love. And then at the end of that part of her experience, she traveled to the pyramids in Egypt.
Wow. Okay. That is incredible to have to experience it, but then to have somebody who is not directly experiencing it see you experiencing it. That's very unusual, and is fascinating.
And at the end of it, there was a poltergeist-like experience she experienced when she felt she did something at the pyramids that whoever was sitting there guarding it didn't like.
They shoved me down into the bed I was sitting in, and it scared me. It snapped me out of it. It scared me, and I didn't do it again. So,
wow. So you have the connection of, and I'm familiar with some things that you've posted recently, that poltergeist activity is not something new to you, is it?
Oh no, definitely not.
Oh no. At Christmas we had orbs and things lift up off of the tree and move over a couple of inches and fall to the ground. No, we continue to experience poltergeist. I hear rapping on the wall. So her deceased boyfriend would on occasion knock on the wall to get her to come in because he had health problems near the end. And I've heard the three raps he did.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot of material here, and I'm just trying to keep it in some kind of coherent order. But yes, so you've had, how can I put this? And I certainly mean this only in a positive way, but would it be fair to say, Lal, that you're kind of a, you might say, prodigy, that you have a lot of natural psychic ability, which is not necessarily the same thing as mediumship, but you have them both together, and that leads you wide open to a wide spectrum of experiences.
Yeah.
I characterized her in the beginning, and I don't think she believed me for a long time until she started listening to and talking to others. She is the most powerful consciousness, energy working, light being I've ever heard of.
Well, I always make a joke because I'm very shy, and I always say it's easier for me to talk to dead people on aliens than it is like living people, because it's easier for me. It's just they have something to say. They say what they mean, and I deliver the message. So
if Grant Cameron were here, he would say she exhibits all contact modalities.
That's a good way of putting it. Yes, like all of them. Wow. That is a really incredible situation. You mentioned it that you had received direct communications. Well, Lala had received direct communications from your deceased boyfriend, who, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm getting the relationship wrong, you have a child with?
Yeah, we were together. We knew each other as kids, but we dated for 15 years and we had a little boy. And my son's name is Xander and my boyfriend's name was Dave, and he passed from blood cancer and a heart problem.
Okay.
2 years ago.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was quite that recent. Yes. And you have had, he has reached out to you from having passed.
Yeah. So he's done certain things, but there is one, I have proof. Because we keep cameras outside and a couple inside in rooms that we're never in. And the light turns off and I hear his voice go, "Hello, Xander." And we still have it. I mean, it's his voice. It's amazing. So
that is amazing. The two of you do quite a lot of, and I don't even want to call it ghost hunting because it seems kind of undignified. You do record experiences of the paranormal and of contact from the deceased, but also other things, including UFOs, including indoor orbs, including some activity over a cemetery. What would you tell us about your ongoing, like, investigative work?
Oh my God, I am addicted to it. It is so fun.
She's absolutely obsessed.
And different, right? And it started off with me just talking to the sky through the camera, and we'd see something in the stars really far away. And then as the weeks go by, they get a little closer and a little closer until they're manifesting in the orbs, but also other things, and moving the camera. And all I do is I just talk to them like a best friend. I have pure intentions. They know exactly what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. And sometimes even if I'm sad, they'll do extra just to it's interesting, you know?
Let me give you an example in my case. So
yes, please.
I'm fascinated by the ghosts and the orbs. I really am. But I wanted to see a craft. So I says, look, beg them to show us. So I'm going to show you that she gets intelligent responses. So I told, we want to see craft. So these orbs would happen out back on our security cameras. And the orbs will kind of zip across the sky and maybe go in a circle. And near this circle, there would be a flash, like a flash bulb going off.
Wow.
So I says, what is that? I says, that's weird. And so I go to sleep. And as usual, she sits up half the night looking at stuff. And she processed one of those flashes. And you have in the collection of photos that we have showed you multiple instances of her resolving one of these flashes into a clear craft, which is sort of a response to the thing I asked her to have them do.
And there's one in particular it's amazing and it's detailed, and it's shown up a few different occasions, different angles,
orientations. That's number one. And number two, in each case, it exhibited itself on the sky in a manner where our cameras and instances and external databases with weather clouds, et cetera, could allow us to estimate how far away the object is.
Right.
So the big object that looks, I don't know, like a funny looking hotel with two towers on top, that thing was 20 kilometers away, 20
wow.
kilometers away. And it's many pixels on a inexpensive security camera, clear enough for you to resolve the parts of the structure. The thing was huge.
Mm-hmm. And they just seem to materialize and then dematerialize.
Well, yeah. If I'm going to give you UFO language, the flash is a portal opening. They come out of the portal. the flash happens and they're gone back through the portal.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so I go, so you would miss it if you weren't, I get feelings about certain flashes, or I'll follow, if the orbs keep going in certain directions, I'll follow them. And then I kind of dig into what they're trying to show me. And it's easy to miss. It really is.
I would have missed it. I would have missed it hard, but she just intuits which things to look at.
And that it seems as though somebody could be right next door to you and not see any of this. Right. Very easily.
These people don't see stuff. And we'll talk about another one of the videos when you get a chance.
Yes, certainly.
Okay. Wow. You get a chance.
Yes. Well, hey, no time like the present. Go right. I've seen several of your videos. They're absolutely fascinating.
Okay. So
go ahead.
So Lala found a video of our neighbor's house. So you go ahead and describe the whole deal.
With the light?
Yeah, the light and this.
All right. So for, what has it been, a month or so now, every once in a while.
Every near new moon.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There is a light that goes over this one guy's house, the roof. And the way our house is, you have to park in a car garage. And there's these big holly bushes, well, trees that are as tall as the house.
The light from anybody's lights that come up their driveway cannot shine on anyone else's house. There's no way. And the beam shows up at the peak of the roof and grows down the side of the roof.
And then just disappears. And then the lamppost will flicker on and off or get really, really bright.
Or go off altogether.
Right.
So there's electromagnetic interference with all sorts of stuff going on these houses.
And listen, this area, if they were aware of this going on.
They would cuckoo.
They would. They're very proper. So they'd be like, that's not allowed. You have to fix that lamp.
We live in a gated community with an HOA. All right, now continue to she decided to look in detail at one of these lights.
Yeah, so I got a feeling about one recently and I just messed with it. It's in my cell phone edit. So I just made things brighter or the contrast darker, nothing special. And I noticed there were these two beings that were in the light on his roof. And look, I'm not, I know Bob loves this stuff. I'm not one for like saying, oh, I think I see a face. I want to see what it is. I want proof. But sure. this is really two beings in this dude's roof. I can't explain it.
She sees things that I see things that others might call pareidolia, but given the entire context, one of the beings has his arms out and his hands on what I believe are the guy's shoulders that live in the home.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this is just really, really odd.
But we can't really say anything. I mean,
no, we can't. We're not saying anything to these people.
Do you have sugar?
Do you have any sugar? And by the way, do you know aliens are opening up your roof and fooling with you?
Yes. I mean,
come on. Yes. We're not about to do that.
Yeah.
That's the video. Not an easy conversation to start, and I wouldn't push anybody to do that. To the specificity you feel comfortable with, where do you live?
Well, we are in Maryland, about 40 minutes from Baltimore.
Yeah. Okay.
But with a lot of land, we're
a mile from a major highway.
And we're in a no-fly zone?
We have no TAMs over us, so that gives you an idea of what military base we might be near.
Yeah.
Okay. And not all that far from D.C. either, right, for what that's worth.
Right.
Okay. No, that's, I didn't just wanted to see whether we're talking about California or where we're talking about. Okay. But no, we're in Maryland.
We can hear loud explosions regularly from a military base.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyone who really wants to know can look that up pretty easily. Uh-huh. Yes. Get the picture.
That'll get you within 25 miles of us.
Yes. Man, I got so many follow-up questions here and we haven't even gotten to necessarily everything. Not at all. When Lala, you kind of always had a sort of natural mediumship. Did you take any like practices to develop that, or did this kind of was always with you naturally or inborn, you might say?
I was born with it. My dad was, he wasn't a medium, but he was, he had psychic abilities and he did Reiki. And so I
grew up, really?
Yeah, he was awesome. He was into the herbal medicines and just very kind and very patient. And I grew up with someone who kind of gently let me know what I am, but at my own pace, because I was very much, my mom was against it. She wanted me to be normal, which is, I get it, you know.
There's a certain desire to protect your children from the penalties our society puts on people who see things that other people don't see, even if they're totally real and right. And, you know, we don't have shamans in the society.
That's a great word. That's a great word and a great segue. Her father was very closely friends with the local Native American tribes people. And they took him into smoke lodges and sweat tents, lodges, and he did healings for them. And they treated him like he was a well-known shaman.
Wow. That is very interesting.
Well, he was really kind to everyone. He really was. He didn't have a mean bone in his body, you know. But then my mom, she had a master's in psychology.
And oh, wow. So that is a great juxtaposition. That'd be a very and I don't mean to comment on your parents' relationship. That'd just be a very interesting combination there.
It was two very
different ways of seeing the world. You know?
Yeah. You know, it helps me now because I don't go too far off into the deep end. I get excited sometimes, but there's that part of me that goes, okay, is this real? What's going on? And then the other part of me is like, yeah, this is, there is a hidden world and I can see into it and it's real. Both worlds are real, you know?
She calls herself shy. Here's how it works out operationally. She will see something or do something, and I'll say, oh, you've done this. And you can tell she's skeptical. So about the third or fourth time she does something, I tell her, here's what it is. You can see her finally accepting it. She's reluctant to openly accept all these things about herself. Mm-hmm. And so she's very modest about it.
Which honestly is probably the best possible attitude to have, because you're dealing with such incredible experiences and material on a way more frequent basis than, I've had a couple experiences in my life, a handful, and each of them was mind-blowing in its own way. Well, if you get your mind blown every week, it's going to have a cumulative effect,
How about mind blown every single day?
Yes,
that's our life. Every single day.
Wow, and that's something that you'd want to kind of be kind of at arm's length and kind of grounded, so it doesn't drag you in some direction that you might not want to go. Yeah. Right. Wow, yeah. That is absolutely fascinating. I notice there is often in people who've had these type of experiences, a familial, even a genetic component, that it does seem to be passed down. And like the Celtic lore on the second sight tends to be passed down. And if I recall correctly, it tends to be passed down like from father to daughter or mother to son, but then back and forth, down the generations. And that seems like what happened with Lala and your dad, that there does seem to be a genetic component. And you were mentioning that he was an abductee as well?
Yes. He didn't talk about it that much, but I remember him saying one time he was walking the dog and a craft was following him. And then he got scared and stopped talking about it. And that wasn't like him, you know?
Wow. Wow.
So far, her son seems to have escaped it completely, which is good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I'm just, so far for now, let's just, I won't touch that one. But yes. And could you just elaborate a little bit on the blood type thing?
So we're O negative, and I ask other people that are similar to me or have had similar experiences, and they're all O negative, and it just seems a little odd that we're all having these, you know, strange and amazing experiences, and we're the same bloodline. I think it's a bloodline situation, not so much a blood type. But when I try to look up things, I can't find anything. Nobody wants to talk about it, you know?
Yes. And without trying to make too much out of this, what is your ethnic background?
I am Spanish. Well, you know, the Basque, right?
Oh, wait. Yes, I actually do.
I knew that was going to be exciting.
The Basque people are very unique. And when I say that, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Really unique genetically. Like, they're not like any other people on Earth, which is saying something.
Mm-hmm.
They have a different lineage than any other group, whether, you know, African, European, Asian, indigenous, what have you. The Basques are even separate, like often a different branch from all of those.
Right.
And I don't know what that means, if anything, but it does stick out. And the Basque, and like 100% Basque or anything else?
No, a little bit Egyptian.
Okay.
a Swedish.
Yes.
Little bits of like Puerto Rican, but mainly the Spanish, Egyptian, and the Basque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very interesting. And again, I don't claim to have even a theory of what that means, if it means anything, but there are, you know, sometimes it seems as though bloodlines do have some relationship to this phenomena involving abductees.
Yeah, that's something I would like to look more into sometime in my life. I would love to find someone who knew more about it. I'm just intrigued by it because nobody knows anything. And we know everything on Earth. You know what I mean?
No, I think you had it right when you said nobody knows anything. I don't claim to know what's going on. I just try to like get a picture of it and try to ask relevant questions,
right,
and maybe get somewhere towards understanding something,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
In all of, and there's no right or wrong answer on this. We're just people talking.
Mm-hmm.
Have you received any like messages that were more broad, like kind of a contactee kind of message to the world type of thing? Or not?
To the world, I don't think so. I know they've told me, like, in their weird voice, they said, "Do not fear me," and it sounded very authoritative, and it's different from a spirit voice. That I don't know how to explain it, but they haven't given me any things about what's going to happen to Earth or things like, although I haven't really asked. Things just happen to me. I don't really. Now, if I asked, eventually it would come to me. For some reason, they really do respond to everything I ask for, if it's from my heart. So
my first serious UFO/experience was with Chris Bledsoe. in 2019, and he told me all about the prophecies and said that rarely had he seen these entities come and show up the way they did when I arrived. And I went home. He hates the word, but I'm going to use it. I went home with a hitchhiker, and the hitchhiker squirted me with apports of water in the middle of the air till I recognized it was an apport. I called up Chris and told him I was going to help him do some stuff. And now he's come out with UFO of God, and he's told people high in the government what his prediction is for the future. And so I played some minor role in that. I didn't get the prophecy, but I know what the prophecy is. And I now seem to be also here helping Lala and show her unbelievable, incredible talents to the world. So I seem to have this role of helper to the psychics and the experiencers.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I've got to ask, you know, to give me a little more detail on, so you were kind of confronted by it. Okay, so you go and you hear about these prophecies. I am unfamiliar with who you're talking with. I don't know Mr. Bledsoe.
Chris Bledsoe had an abduction experience in 2007 on the Cape Fear River in North Carolina. And MUFON came and they made his life a miserable heck. And I want a different word, but I'm trying to behave.
No, that, feel free.
They made his life a miserable hell by doing all sorts of stuff. So he hid until 2012, and he had this mystical experience where he had a Marian experience where a white lady came down and told him stuff. And then he decided to have a regression. And during the regression, he remembered his initial abduction. And he was taken to the future, not shown the future, taken to the future, because he witnessed with his own eyes an astronomical phenomenon which identified the epoch, the date and time and year, and in a geographical location that is impossible to miss. And he saw the beginning of a nuclear exchange and the entities end the nuclear exchange.
Wow. Okay.
And so later on, I saw a photograph that Chris has shown to Grant Cameron. And this photograph hit me like a lightning bolt because I knew what it meant. The photo was of a napkin laid over the top of a manila envelope with half of an address shown. The address was clearly Chris Bledsoe's address. The napkin was the presidential seal and location Camp David. It is illegal to copy, mimic, and reproduce the presidential seal. And the only way you get to Camp David is an invitation from the owner.
Yes. And, you know, it's not a tourist site. No.
Exactly. And that was during the Obama administration.
Wow. Okay. To the extent that you can and feel comfortable about it, what is the ongoing status with this revelation?
Tests were done where people in the government came and set up an experiment to ask Chris if he could ask the things that he communicates with, if they could have these things appear in front of cameras on demand, irrespective of where they were on the earth. Chris did not know where they were. He did not know when the request would be made. And he made the request was made, he asked, and the entities showed up in front of these people's cameras. Chris Bledsoe is taken seriously by the United States government.
Wow. And so after having met with him, you are coming home and you're confronted by an entity that squirts you with water in your car?
No, in my home, in the middle out of the middle of the air in my home.
It comes into your house and squirts you with water.
Yeah, like a water pistol. And so COVID came, Chris and I drifted apart a bit. We maintain regular contact, but at the end of kind of the isolation from COVID, I became familiar with Lala. And then Lala and I got together and we now live together.
Yes, yes. And this is at your current place. So this entity sprays you with water and it tells you, what does it tell you?
It continues until I call Chris and tell him I'll help him.
Okay. So you're involved in this currently.
I'm not. I'm no longer involved directly.
What happened when he was living in Alabama.
I lived in Alabama. Yeah. And I was in my summer home in Gulf Shores. This happened way back then in 2019 and 20. And then after that, COVID hit. I retired. My mother passed away. And Lala gave the reading. And we started talking and doing things and got together and decided to live together. So I left Alabama, sold all my stuff down there and moved to Maryland.
Okay. And that must seem, yes, people meet all the time and, get together and form relationships. But does this seem kind of guided to you?
Oh, yeah.
Both of us claim that we are the latest people to be pushed by the Watchers.
Right.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly what it seemed like to me.
Okay, so she's had stuff from the beginning. I had 3 NDEs before I was 1. I woke up at 3. I woke up at 3, able to read with no known method. But when I was 10, I had all the stuff go on. And I had missing time when I was 18. You get the idea. The phenomenon has been in both our lives, but much more intensely in Lala's. I just feel like I got a little training and pushed along a couple of roads. But her whole life has been totally dominated by the active phenomena.
Wow. And again, this isn't love connection. This wasn't random. This seems to be like you two were engineered to be together. And I mean, it's great that you have a loving relationship. That's wonderful. But it seems like other forces wanted you together for their own purposes, perhaps.
During my regression, my higher consciousness revealed that I had gotten together with Lala in order to serve her and help her do what she needed to do.
Wow, that is fascinating. And I get the impression that this is only the beginning. This is kind of, square one for where you're going to go together.
It feels like it's growing in intensity and complexity every day.
He's ready to get beamed up in the backyard. I mean.
And she said, tell me how it went.
Yeah, here.
I'm just thinking of other couples that I'm aware of that have had these experiences and that have had them together and where their whole being together out of the 7 to 8 billion people in the world, their meeting and connecting definitely was not just random and mundane, but happened purposefully. And I mean, I'm thinking of Betty and Barney Hill. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a number, Ms. Andreasen that died last year, just a lot of people. This is something that apparently does happen, that outside forces bring people together and create a relationship. I don't say create, but connect for a relationship that leads to a lot more experience, a lot more contact, a lot more absolutely incredible things happening.
We believe that. And just as the latest kind of synchronicity, Bob Luca is now both of our Facebook friends, and neither one of us reached out to him.
Please, again, sometimes I'm unaware of people. Maybe I should be. Tell me a little bit about Mr. Luca.
Bob Luca was Betty Andreessen Luca's second husband.
Oh, yes, yes. Now that rings a bell. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong. Were they the ones that, like, an orb led them to be together or something along those lines?
I am not familiar with the early part of their story. We came in on their story when Raymond Fowler wrote The Watchers. So okay. By then they had already moved to Florida, and Luca was regularly doing her regression hypnosis. So okay. I am not familiar with the early part.
Okay. Speaking of The Watchers, please, what would you like to tell us about The Watchers? What are they? What is that?
Well, so The Watchers in Raymond Fowler's book are the entities that regularly took Betty Andreessen up and involved her in hybridization experiments. She saw the tanks where they grew the hybrid embryos. She watched them gather fauna and flora from the earth and take it up into their ship and so forth. They flew her around to different places and then brought her home. So they seem to be very involved with the current status and the future of mankind in some way.
I see. And she was a devout Christian, and she saw this in terms of maybe they, well, she had experiences that were, you know, for lack of a better term, religious, but she might have seen them as being like some kind of archangel type of entity.
Exactly the same as Chris Bledsoe, in which people can read about him in the number one bestseller in this whole area on Amazon, UFOs of God.
UFOs of God. I will have to check that out. Wow. That is absolutely fascinating. I guess to bring things a little more current, you guys are doing a lot of investigation. What would you like to tell us about that?
So we're submitting a grant with multiple a grant request with multiple psychic mediums to the Bigelow Institute for Consciousness Study in order to help meet their goals of showing that these mediums can conclusively show through a rigorously designed scientific process that mediums can contact the other side and can get actionable information from it. So we're doing that. And
let me just stop you right there. That's a fascinating project. I have lately become involved with the Spiritualist Church, and they are quite meticulous about seeking evidence for their mediumship. And had some experiences there that were quite intense. And yes, I am all for the scientific study of mediumship. Please go ahead.
Okay. So the second thing I would talk about is while we are just at the very, very beginning of this, so I don't want to make it sound like it's ongoing. We're just starting because there's still stuff we have to do. Lala and I are friends with Jimmy Blanchett. Jimmy Blanchett and I are both amateur radio operators. Jimmy Blanchett has been doing CE5 for a long time, and he decided to see if he could take his amateur radio gear and excite CE5-like things without not doing meditation, but by transmitting a signal. He succeeded. Mm-hmm. So Lala and Jimmy,
he's amazing.
He is so absolutely
amazing. Is that like ham radio?
It is ham radio. He and I are both ham radio operators.
Okay.
So I decided, because I'm a ham radio operator and a mathematician, and I've done machine learning for the last 9 years, that with Lala's help and doing kind of something like psychic mediumship, helping to provide instantaneous translation, Jimmy could transmit his signal the beings in the sky send back light. I gather the light in a camera, feed it through a machine learning device, and we teach it how to do translation. Therefore, anyone with the computer and the radios can conduct two-way communications with the entities.
Wow. Okay. That's one of the more incredible things I've heard.
But this is very ambitious. And this technical people guessing that they can do this. And we still have stuff to put together to actually try it.
When I talk to, I guess I call them energy beings because there's different ones and I'm not exactly sure what to call them. And they started doing circle movements a lot or spirals. And so when I want to talk to them or get their attention or call them to me, I'll say circle and they'll come to me. We've created, I guess, a language with, what is it?
Intelligent responses.
Yeah.
She gets yes, no responses or intelligent responses. So if, in the pictures we showed you, Vincent, you'll see, you see these light things like orbs or weird glitters.
Yes.
Each and every time she summons them to us.
Oh.
And I do, I'll ask yes or no questions. And for yes, I'll ask them to light up. And for no, I'll ask them to not light up and just so I can tell and they listen.
So as an information communication scientist, I know immediately. Yes, no is 0-1. 0-1 is everything. If I can do digital communications with these entities, we can conduct two-way communications with them.
Yeah. Yes, that's the binary system. Yes, it's the basis of all computers and a whole lot of things. Wow.
Now, let me tell you what I and other people that believe in consciousness actually think. You don't really need this if you're already a believer and a practitioner. What we're trying to do is to convince anybody that can turn this radio on that they can communicate with them.
That would be a real fundamental shift in how people interact with non-human entities. Mm-hmm. That would be incredible.
And I'm just going to tell you, without Lala's help, I just don't believe it would ever succeed.
I hear you. These things, it seems like maybe they're kind of making a way to be heard.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to ask you in my questions, I was going to ask you if you ever use devices like Ouija boards or pendulums, but it occurred to me that Lala probably doesn't need devices.
We regularly lose stuff and she used devices. She used pendulums and dowsing rods to find what we lose.
No, I use pendulum. My dad taught me how to move the pendulum with my own energy. But when we lose stuff, and we lose stuff all the freaking time in this house, I use the dowsing rods and we find it every time.
Every time, 100%.
It's great.
Wow. That is very interesting.
So the first time I met her, she said, I want you to just do this. I want you to close your eyes and just do this. She handed me a pendulum and said, you can do this and make it move. And the first time I tried, because I believed. After the reading, I believed her. And I could do what I wanted to with a pendulum.
I do not do Ouija boards or anything like that. They scare me. I feel like they have bad... Me, personally, I feel like bad things could happen, and I just rather not even mess with it. I rather just use my own energy and pure intentions to call other pure energies to me.
And those people that come to her and want her to channel, she does not channel.
Okay.
She doesn't want to be taken over.
Oh, I don't blame her. No, I fully understand. Sure. I would never want to do channeling, and I'm kind of dubious about people who are very open to it, because you're letting something else run your body, and
right.
I'm not cool with that at all.
Right.
And you would not be the only person I've talked to at all who's deep into this stuff who won't touch Ouija boards. I don't know the full answer of whether that is necessarily worse than anything else, but right. I know a lot of people who are way more familiar with this type of phenomena than I am, who are like, no, I don't go there. It's like,
don't you think that's an after many people have done weird things with a Ouija board that it just kind of invokes it?
Yeah, I'm in no rush to touch anything like that either. Mm-hmm. Unlike the pendulums, and definitely unlike the dowsing rods, that's a very different, you know, form of communication.
Yeah.
Oh, and it makes quite a difference.
Yeah.
That is just really interesting. This is, well, may or may not be off topic, but do either of you have any experience with tarot?
Oh my goodness.
So my dad did tarot, and he always tried to get me to do it, and I'll mess with it, but I believe in it. I like it, but I don't have the attention span to do it, I don't think. But I wanted to say that when he passed away a couple years ago, I was going through his room, and everything was fine. Nothing was in my way. And all of a sudden I tripped on something, and in the middle of the carpet was his tarot cards that he used for like 30 years. And wow. So I took them home with me. I would have never even thought to bring them with me. So I keep them with me, and occasionally I'll pull out one or two and stuff like that. But
let me tell you what she does with tarot. Here's what she does with tarot. She will decide one day that it's time for her to listen to her favorite tarot reading on YouTube or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I love listening
to okay. But here's the weird thing. Every time she does, and the two of us listen, it is as if they were in a room talking to us.
Wow.
It so perfectly fits our exact situation. You know that is her psychic intuitive ability saying it's time for the two of us to listen to this.
Yeah, but I mean, to the point where one time I was drawn to listen to this one lady, and she said, and this is for all of my zodiac signs, but in the reading on YouTube, she goes, there's going to be an ex friend that had a crush on you that's going to leave a note under your door. Dude, I went home, and there was
that's
a
extremely
note.
Specific. I mean, that's like, you know.
There was a note under my front door from this guy I hadn't talked to. I mean, this was a while ago, but I couldn't believe it. So ever since then, I've listened to bits and pieces from what she said, and it's almost, I don't want to say eerie, but it is.
I want to make clear, she filters which ones to listen to through her intuitive abilities.
Yeah.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. In my life, I you know, was very against all that stuff for a long time.
Mm.
I've had two tarot readings, and they were both incredibly dead on and very helpful, you know, very beneficial in my life. And that just shows that those are two really good practitioners. And that you get somebody who can really do this, and they can, it wasn't so much predicting the future as it was telling you the present. Right. But telling you the present in a way that gives you some insight. And I found it extremely valuable. I'm very impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Since you mentioned it just briefly, what is your thoughts on and involvement with astrology?
I mean, I think it's interesting. I like listening to it. I don't do it, but I think it's really fun and can be helpful, you know.
So I don't know enough about it, and I'm going to tell you, as a scientist and an avid, and I mean avid, amateur astronomer, and having done professional mathematical work in astronomy, my brain just kind of refuses.
I wouldn't blame you there. I'm sure that there's a real, well, in modern times, there's been a huge break between scientific astronomy and astrology as more of a, you know, predictor or a spiritual practice or something like that. I find it interesting, but I was asking because honestly, I'm still gathering information. I don't really know that much about it.
I just can't overcome my personal bias. I admit it's a bias.
Yeah, I see.
I think it's cool. I just, like I said, my attention span probably won't work out.
Oh, if you start studying this stuff, there's books upon books. I mean, you know, it. Mm-hmm. Yes. You can get a degree in that.
Yeah.
This is maybe or maybe not a little off topic, but you both mentioned, well, Lala with the starseed thing and Bob with the regression to being an ancient tribesman and encountering the Greys. Do you either have any direct experience or just any ideas about ancient civilizations?
I do not know. I'm sorry.
No. So,
we talk about a lot of stuff here. We can't cover everything.
when she did her astral travel, she went beneath the pyramids, and I'm just going to tell you what happened. I'm not going to say anything else. She said the Anunnaki are here pushing me around.
Well, at the time, I didn't know what...
She didn't know the word.
And not what it was.
No, I get you. You got to be pretty... I couldn't explain it quick and easy, but go ahead.
I'm just telling you that if I know what happened, and I know what word came out of her mouth, and I had known enough, just enough ancient Sumerian history to be dangerous. So, and I have not read Jeremiah Sitchin, but I knew what she was talking about. And so to the extent that she feels that maybe some of the entities that talk to her are amongst those folks, I guess that's a connection. But neither of us are ancient history type people.
Okay. And I, you know, kind of try to cover all bases here. And we've covered a bunch of them. Not in full detail, because we have... You guys have a lot to say, and I want to give you a full forum to say it. Have you had any cryptid encounters?
Recently, I think we have. From what I've researched, there is something that shows up in front of our cameras that they call it a skyfish.
Oh, wow. Please go ahead.
It's amazing. And also a light rod. And I've heard some people say they're cryptids. Some people say they're something else. I don't really know, but it's interesting. It's new to me. And it's interesting because it looks like they're floating in the ocean, but they're flying. And I have pictures on our Facebook page, and they're smart. So at first they were just orbs, and then they morphed into... how do you describe it? Like
the rods or whatever. It looked like
wings.
Wait, let me point one out, Vincent. It's just,
sure.
Yeah, keep going.
One second. And so they slowly started to, they do baby steps with me, right? And then one night, quite a few of them showed up, and I got nervous because I'd never seen something like this. And they went away because I got scared. And so I knew that we were connected that way, and they could pick up on what I thought and what I felt. So after that, a few days, I said, okay, I'm ready. And they started coming back again.
So let me point one out to you and to the audience. If they go on our album, they will see what is called a rod. There's one in particular they should look at. And it's because I'm sick of hearing you've taken a picture of a moth. Okay, there's one rod there that has, let's see, three wings on one side and six or seven on the other. I'm not aware of any moth that's asymmetric.
No, moths have two wings, and that's what they have. I think I see the one you're talking about.
Oh, it's clear. It has three on one side and six or seven on the other. That is not a moth. They made sure we could tell.
And it's so fun to watch them fly around. They're so gentle, and it looks like they're having fun. It's really cool.
It's relaxing watching them.
Yeah, there's been a couple of things that I think were cryptids, and they were a little weird. It's hard to explain them. I always thought I'd see something that looked like human-ish. I never thought I'd see things like this, you know?
Oh, yes. Right. And I'm going to link in the show notes to your album, because your photos are amazing.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'll just put out, and everybody knows this, but in today's world, everything is fakeable, but that doesn't mean everything's fake, okay?
Right.
And, you know, these things, you're taking pictures of something. And I know just from taking pictures of normal stuff that wasn't, you know, in any way paranormal, the camera doesn't always capture what you're seeing,
mm-hmm.
you know, but your photos are really very, very interesting. And they do seem to show a lot of absolutely unusual phenomena.
Just want to tell you, Vince, we got sick of people telling us that the IR cameras were seeing dust and bugs. So we got our iPhones and other things out and started taking color photos.
Yeah.
And then we got sick of people telling us, well, you're using a flash. So we began taking pictures with no flash, with our iPhones. Right. And we can see the glowing entities in our viewfinder with no flash. Yeah. And we're taking pictures of it. So slowly but surely, as we get attacked, the entity seems to respond to the attack by helping us out.
Yeah.
Wow. But I mean, yes. Usually I don't even ask much about photos of paranormal things, because there's so much, there's fakery that goes on. And, mm-hmm. you know, we all know that. But I have to say that your photo gallery was really in a class by itself as the best I've seen, where it's not, you're going to have a tough time poking holes in that, you know, and it is what it is. Maybe they're choosing to give you a more clear view than most people get, you know?
Okay. So I want to add the following, that
please.
All of the black and white things that you can tell are an IR camera are screenshots from an actual video.
Mm-hmm.
The video is, you cannot fake it. The stuff we see in these videos, I would need hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment and software to fake these things.
Which kind of begs the question, why would anybody go through the trouble, you know,
right.
Of creating this? For what, you know, exactly.
Right.
And you're taking pictures of things that are mostly like appearing overhead, more or less, or in your own house or someplace mm-hmm. that you've been. And they're really impressive, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, they really are.
She's amazing finding this stuff. She sits up most of the night scanning these things, looking for stuff. And then every time we go in and out of our long driveway, every time we stop on the side of the road at our favorite spot and just start taking pictures, she calls them and they come.
Wow. And a lot of this reminds me of the Mothman prophecies, John Keel being in West Virginia, where the UFOs were just appearing pretty openly and people were seeing them. And, you know, it just didn't get national coverage. You didn't get mainstream coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's kind of what's happening with you guys.
Well, I bought a psionics op-send camera and I got a video of two craft. And I'm going to continue to do that. And these videos are unmistakable.
And in the front yard, in one of the videos I screenshotted, there appeared a humanoid being.
Yeah, a humanoid being that walked through our front door.
No, that was a different
one. Sorry, we had a different one. She's right. Let her tell the story.
Well, it's just so he's talking about, well, he can talk about this one. It's in the photos. This thing has a human body and a weird human kind of face, and it's staring at the camera in the front yard. And I screenshotted it and I lightened it so you could really see it. And a day later or so, I can't exactly remember, but that's when I got the triangle bruise.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. I'll send it to you. It's crazy.
Okay. So I got confused for a minute. We had another video where it looked to me like a whole flood full of orbs was coming through our front door. And I could see this weird outline. And so I enhanced the video and I could see a figure walking up our step and going through our front door. So wow. I sent it off to a friend of mine who is a digital forensic analyst.
Mm-hmm.
They've applied many thousands of dollars worth of software, and you can see what looks like a Native American in a headdress walking up our front steps and right through our door.
Wow. Okay. I did not see that coming. Wow.
Yeah. Yes. And she worked for MUFON and is now on her own.
Wow.
And that's Linda Thompson. And okay. So we're going to be talking about that and other things that she's helped us with at UFOCon in March.
Yeah.
That
amazing.
Sounds great. Wow.
She is amazing.
Yep.
That is amazing. Wow. That is really fascinating. And that name rings a bell that I think I have encountered her work before. That is really interesting, though, that you could bring it down and see, you know, an identifiable entity come into your house. That, wow. Let me just share this with you. It's nothing like this, but I had a very small experience, but it was something. A few months ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, needed to use the bathroom. And as I was, okay, my bathroom is windowless and not near the outside. Mm-hmm. I received a message. Okay. There's thoughts you think that you know your own kind of internal monologue. Mm-hmm. You know when it's you thinking it. This was not me thinking it. This was somebody spoke to me, okay, mentally, and said, your truck's being broken into.
Wow.
Well, I have a Zoom, I have a Ring camera. So I had my phone and I clicked on the Ring camera, and my truck wasn't being broken into. But it was the middle of the night. This is about 3 a.m. And I can clearly see my truck, and standing a ways away from it, but just within camera range, is a being that is humanoid, but looks, and the clarity isn't great. That's why I didn't save it and post it. And it doesn't really prove anything to anybody who doesn't care to, you know, accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed too tall and too thin to really be a person, okay? A human, like a normal human, like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed too tall and too thin. And it was standing near my truck, but not doing anything to my truck. And then it struts across my lawn until it gets out of camera range. Wow. And I don't mean it runs. It doesn't walk. It kind of struts, like fancy, you know? Like... I'm just, you know, it was almost, you know, kind of like expressing itself that I'm somebody very important and you should pay attention to me. And it struts its way across the camera and then disappears. And I'm like, it never touched my truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the hell was that? This is not a guy running from the police. This is not somebody who's actually breaking into my vehicle. What was that, and why did somebody want me to see that at 3 in the morning? You know,
That's interesting, actually.
It's just a weird thing.
Was it 333 like John Keel?
I don't believe it was exactly that dead on, but it was very close. Yeah, it was right about that time. Mm-hmm. And it just was so weird. It's like, and I never get, you know, I'm fond of saying I'm not a psychic sensitive. I'm a psychic insensitive. I go through life, you know, nearsighted and hard of hearing as far as psychic phenomena. I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. I don't really experience much of anything. But this one, I clearly, your truck's being broken into. It's like, why? And that wasn't my thought. That was a thought that was sent to me. And
yeah.
Or check it out and what is this? You know?
That's interesting because they put you on alert to really pay attention to them. So they kind of freaked you out enough.
Yes.
To look harder for them.
Yes.
But what that does, Vincent, I'm going to tell you from my own personal experience. Now that you have experienced it, the block in your brain is gone.
Oh dear. Go ahead. Well, I have
had, you're now quantum entangled with them.
And I think that's very true. I've always been interested in this stuff since I was a kid, since Leonard Nimoy and In Search Of, and since I was much younger, listened to Art Bell on Third Shift, you know.
Yep.
I've always been interested in this stuff. But once I started this podcast in its most early form and started getting involved with this phenomena, I started getting poltergeist activity in my home. Now, not the kind where dishes are flying around, but just the disappearance of objects and their strange and impossible return. And I actually had to develop a little ritual where I'd, in the third person, say, it'd be really great if this thing could come back. And sometimes instantly it was back.
You should try the following experiment. Take 5 quarters, put them beside your bed. Ask in your mind as you go to sleep for them to be moved across the room.
I thought you were going to say ask for $1,000 back.
Well, no, just ask for that. Start simple. Ask for five quarters to be moved across the room.
Yeah.
Well, this has only happened at my previous home. It hasn't happened here. And I don't know if I'm eager to have it happen here.
It's up to you.
It was happening so often that, like, the pepper, okay, like black pepper you use in cooking,
mm-hmm.
was disappearing. And then, like, I had to put it in the lockbox, okay, because it would disappear. And then it would reappear in a place I've already searched 3 times. And it wasn't there, and now it's there. You know, it was wild. And that started happening. And then black SUVs started showing up around my home and shining the headlights in my kitchen window.
Oh, God.
And I'm like freaking Lala's
having
out.
Lala's having PTSD over here.
I mean, well, is that a similar experience to something that's happened to you?
Sort of, kind of. I'm definitely watched. It freaks me out. That's all. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And no. Well, the thing was, I was going through in my head, like, am I under some kind of investigation?
Mm-hmm.
Like in the very mundane, like, criminal justice world, you know, is somebody watching me for 6 hours? I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything criminal. I'm not doing anything. Listen, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the number of times that black SUVs were parked across the street from me, and it's a double, you know, it's a 4-lane divided highway. It's not, when I say across the street, it's not that close,
mm-hmm.
but it's too close for comfort when they're shining their headlights into your kitchen window.
Oh, yeah.
And once I made a gesture, let me be clear, I didn't have a gun in my hand. Mm-hmm. I made a finger gesture like a gun.
What?
And kind of went like bang, like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, if anybody's seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
just the hand gesture, bang. And as soon as I did that, they took off, like, instantly.
Whoa.
It's like, they were, somebody was watching me now. What the hell? But I tried to go out and, like, recreate where would they have to park, shine me, and I could never get a location. It was so weird. And I don't know what to make of that. There was no investigation. There was nothing like that. I mean, in the legal, right. I don't want to say real world, because it was all real, but
right.
In the normal world, there was no investigation. There was nothing going on, but something was happening. And it seemed like something was taking an interest in me once I took an interest in them. You know? Exactly.
It's true. It is true. When I do readings for people, once a spirit realizes that I can that I notice them and that I can get their message across, they get excited and they bring their friends and then their family. And they, you know, they're like, you got to do this, you got to do that, you know. And so they get excited. But then also there are things that are attached to them, like the people in the black vans and SUVs that are also aware that you can see these things and stuff like that. It's all connected. I don't know how it's connected, but it is.
I'll give you my favorite story. But she's reading my mother, and she's proved conclusively to me that she is reading my mother, told me things that I didn't know that my mother told her, and I later found out were actually true. Okay, so she says there's a little lady here, and she's about 5'2" or so, curly brownish hair, and I keep hearing a word. And I says, oh yeah, what's that? She says, I hear the word Tweety. And I said, Tweety? And she says, yes. And Vince, she could tell you, I just broke down. When I was under one, my grandmother took care of me a fair amount, and she called me Sweetie. I couldn't say the word Sweetie, so I called her Tweety.
Oh, man.
And she and I had a bad falling out before she passed away. And all she wanted was my forgiveness. Wow. And I felt this deep sense of compassion, and I forgave her. And Lala says, oh, she's gotten really bright. And she followed Lala around, sat in her car, et cetera, for days. And she could see her.
Grocery store.
I mean, you know, this is both a great deal, but it can be a little weird at times. And finally, my grandmother figured out that she liked her and left.
Yeah, because I'm at the grocery store. I'm going to the bathroom. Nobody's in there. And I see this little old lady. I mean, the same hairstyle, outfit, everything. And I'm giving her the side eye, like, what are you looking at? And then she's giving me a side eye. It's a weird experience, you know?
But she was much brighter than she was when she first saw her. Because she had forgiven her.
She was grumpy and aggressive.
My grandmother was one bossy little, starts with a B.
But that's the thing that I love about the continuation of life, that our bodies die, the physical husk dies, but we continue on, is that you can make changes even after you've passed.
Yes.
And you can decide, you know, I want to do better than I did while I was here.
Yes.
And you can settle things. And I find that to be an incredible good thing about mediumship, you know, that really provides a lot of release for a lot of people.
Yeah. Just let me say, it was a big deal for me to forgive my grandmother.
Oh, I'm sure.
I will say only the following. She wrecked multiple people's lives. And the wreckage lasted decades. And I decided I just couldn't carry the burden anymore and forgave her.
But that's why I do what I do when it comes to mediumship, is I want to kind of be a telephone, so to speak, so people can heal in some way, either by forgiveness or if they just miss that person and they need to talk to them. That's the whole reason I do what I do. Because when I lost my parents and boyfriend a couple years ago, I hid from what I was most of my life. But I remember all that pain I felt and no one really to comfort me and no one really liked me. And I said, you know, I want to help people feel better and not feel like this. And then I started letting myself do it more often online. I would do it for free. The spirit would come to me. They'd say, find this person. I find the person. I give them the reading. And it led me to Bob. You know, I didn't know who he was, but I knew I had to give him a message.
And you should see her walk up to the random person in a restaurant or in a mall or whatever, and just intuitively know that they need a reading, and or some entities told her to go over there and tell her something. And to watch this process, it's a miracle.
I don't doubt that at all. Yes. It's interesting. For what it's worth, I have a psychiatrist. And when I was talking with him, and I was just tangentially touching on the paranormal, which is a big part of my life. And he immediately shared with me this powerful experience he'd had with the medium, contacting his late father. And it was a very powerful experience for him. And people who you might not expect do take these things seriously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a very real thing that happens in our world.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's true. After my family passed, I went to therapy for a little bit. And it kind of slipped out that, you know, what I do, just the psychic stuff I touched on. And so he tested me. And I eventually had to leave. It turned into his family and friends calling in during my therapy, him wanting to meet outside. I'm like, it was like this whole, he was so amazed that he got upset. People get obsessed with it. And so I'm leery about who I open up to. Well, not so much now. I'm safe. I feel safer with Bob. But before I was really, really leery because people can either hate me or get obsessed.
But the thing she will not tolerate, or if she feels somebody is testing her, that's the end of it.
Right,
she does not like being tested.
I'll play along and I'll give them their message, but it's a waste of my time if someone believes me or not. That's not what I'm here for, you know?
Oh, I understand. Yes. That,
yeah.
You know, playing games to try to establish your credibility, it doesn't really work like that.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
None of this phenomena, whether it be psi, whether it be mediumship, whether it be contact with other beings of all sorts of nature, they don't do it on command very often. Okay. Right. They really don't. It doesn't work like that. You can't just end 10, 9 now. You know, it doesn't, they don't follow our directions, you know. And that's why it's hard to establish scientific credibility, because it's not producible in a lab on demand.
It's not repeatable in a controlled condition. Yes, I agree.
And if I may just kind of editorialize for a second, I think the reason for that is because you're dealing with other intelligences. Mm-hmm. If you're studying geology, the rocks aren't going to lie to you. Okay, they're just rocks. You can find what you can find. If you're doing chemistry, the chemicals aren't going to, you know, connive against you. They're chemicals. They interact or they don't. Mm-hmm. They interact in a certain specific way. Anything to do with the paranormal, psi, mediumship, aliens, what have you, you're dealing with another intelligence that may not care to, you know, follow your directions, may not care to appear when you would like them to, or not appear when you prefer they don't. You're dealing, it's more like dealing with another country, or dealing with, you know, other people. You know, you don't, it's not something you can do in a lab. It's more like, I would say, almost like police work or military intelligence or something like that, where you're trying to figure out what their motives are and what their deal is, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's, they're trying to control something that's uncontrollable. It's free energy. That's what it is. It's just energy doing what it wants when it wants, giving information when it wants.
And you listen, you know, I believe that consciousness is in some way a quantum field theory. Okay. So You know, if you try to constrain one part of this quantum object, it becomes unconstrained to an equal amount in other ways. That's the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. And so it's you're hearing quantum more and more often with all this consciousness stuff. Oh, and I'm telling you, that's what's going on. When you try to put something of it in a box so that you can easily control it and see what it is, other parts of it are going to become completely unconstrained. The more you constrain one thing, some other part becomes totally unconstrained. And I believe these people that go to Skinwalker Ranch wanting to look for a weapon, they unleash heck on themselves. Mm-hmm. Every time. One went recently, I won't say a name, but they got a radiation burn on their face.
Wow.
And they went there looking for stuff for, I think, the military.
It's all intention.
It's intention. And you just can't constrain it in one way without it being unconstrained in another. You better be careful what you ask a consciousness for.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Since you brought up quantum mechanics and other thing, quantum entanglement, and this is kind of left field, so if the answer is no, then it's no. Do you have any thoughts about the so-called Mandela effect?
Well, Lala speaks about the Mandela effect, 20 times a day.
Okay. Please.
I don't understand it, but I think it's interesting. And all I can say is, when I was younger, I had really bad anxiety, so I had a tic I would do, and I would type words with my toes. I know it sounds weird, but whatever. I would type, so I would constantly...
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing we're going to hear about tonight. Go ahead.
So it would be obsessive me typing these words, and I loved Skecher sneakers, okay? I was a little skateboarder girl. I loved Skechers, and it had a T in the word. It no longer has a T, and I'm telling you, with everything, every part of my being, I remember it had a T, and something has just changed. Things are just slightly different. I don't know what it is or why. Some things I think are just misunderstood or misremembered, but there's definitely something going on.
You okay, know? Let me jump in now and answer your question more directly.
But
it's directly related to what she just told you. Okay, so Leon Cooper discovered the basis for superconductivity. He was on the faculty at Brown University when I was there. I learned quantum field theory from Leon Cooper. So if you do quantum mechanics and quantum field theory, you may have run into a particular person who I happen to get to know. And that person's student invented the multiverse. So every time Lala talks about these Mandela effects, and I know she can perceive different frequencies or different dimensions, it leads me directly to believe that the multiverse is the explanation. And so every one of these various alternatives, Skechers with a T, Skechers without a T, you did a this, you did a that, every single one of these possibilities actually comes true in the multiverse. She's just able to tune into more of them than most of us.
I mean, some people think CERN had something to do with this. Some people think that we died and then woke up in a slightly different world, but very similar, so that we don't know. Some people think aliens got us and put us into an Earth-like place. It's really cool.
Oh, so, yes. I tend to think time travelers have altered the past, but go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to say, my ex's was a nurse, and was John Archibald Wheeler's nurse, and John Archibald Wheeler's student invented the multiverse, and I got to know John Archibald Wheeler.
Interesting.
It's just so many weird synchronicities. You just cannot begin to deal with these synchronicities, Vincent. They're just so strange. And Lala and I have synchronicities all the time.
Oh, I believe it. My own, the one that gets me, well, two get me the most. One is when I was a kid, I learned the word dilemma as a spelling word, and it had that silent N.
Mm-hmm.
It was D-I-L-E-M-N-A,
yeah.
Dilemma. Now it's two M's. There's no silent N.
Well, I remember the silent N too.
And I remember having to memorize that because it wasn't intuitive. It was a spelling word that, like, you had to remember there's a silent N. And I was talking, this came up when I was talking a total non-paranormal discussion. And there were several of us in the room, and this lady was a doctor, and she mentioned, oh, yes, I've noticed that I had to remember the silent N too. And she doesn't believe in any of this stuff. But it was like, well, okay. If you look back in the word history, there never was a silent N. There's no explanation. And it's like, it's not like they changed it. It just was never there. And that freaks me out.
Also,
I clearly remember wearing t-shirts that were Fruit of the Loom, and they had the Horn of Plenty, the cornucopia.
Yep.
Except they never did. Apparently in our world, they never did.
I believe the cornucopia was there from the time I was a kid.
Yep.
Exactly. I saw it. I know it was there, but I there's no proof for it now. And my wife happens to come from the same area as the comedian Sinbad. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And so she knows who Sinbad is. Everybody there knows who he is. He's like the only local celebrity. He was in a movie where he played a genie. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people saw it. She saw it. I haven't seen it, but she saw it. And there's complete denial, including from the Sinbad in our world, that he was ever in a movie where he played a genie. But I digress. That's the thing. You know? And it absolutely, that is, it blows my mind, you know?
Yeah, it's like, what was it? Luke, I am your father. And now it's, no, I am your father. But I used to have a crush on Chris Farley, and I'd watch all his movies. And Black Sheep, or was it Tommy Boy? He was talking it to a fan, and he went, Luke, I am your father. So it's all over. And honestly, I think with these letters appearing or disappearing, I think if we went back from when it first started and got each letter that is missing or appeared, I think it's spelling out something. I think it's a message. I really do. Because why else would they do it? You know?
I had never, okay, that thought had never crossed my mind. But yes, to add the K from Chick-fil-A, which bothers people, because people remember it without the K. Add the T from Strecker's. I don't know what you'd get. And maybe you'd have to run it through some kind of cryptogram, but wow, that's an interesting theory. That really is.
And the only reason I think that maybe we're in a different place somehow is because a lot of these different Mandela effects all kind of say that we're not where we used to be anymore. Like the song Barbie Girl. It now says I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world, when it used to be or like Mr. Rogers, it's changed into the neighborhood, or some, or like Forrest Gump, it's changed to make it sound like we're in a different place than what it used to be. It's creepy.
And it's always at the periphery. It's never anything you can look right at and say, no, this, but
right.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Every fan of this should watch the movie The Adjustment Bureau.
That was great.
Oh, yes. Two shouts out for that. One, it's a good movie on its own. Two, it's an adaptation of a Philip K. Dick novel.
Exactly. And
you can't go wrong there, you know?
No, Philip K. Dick is my great science fiction hero.
Oh, yes. Right on, man. He had some experiences. Well, a number of them that were, well, that could be a whole separate show on the stuff that happened to Philip K. Dick.
We could spend a week on Valis alone.
Yes, in the pink beam that gives him a download of information and all of that.
What's better than Blade Runner?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there you go. We've covered a bunch of stuff tonight, but we've only scratched the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been going for just short of 2 hours, which is kind of, I do kind of have to wrap things up for this episode of the podcast, mm-hmm. but I feel like I've only kind of scratched the surface with everything that you guys have to tell us. And, you know, there's a ton more here.
Oh, yeah.
Lala says yes. I'm here to help.
This has been really, really fun.
Didn't seem like 2 hours, Vince. Let's do it again.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. I'd love to. And we'll schedule that for certain. Before we do wrap up, what would each of you, where can we find you, and what would you like to tell the listeners?
So in March, next month, we are at UFOCon 2023 in San Francisco, and we're headed to the Spaced Out Radio users get together in May in Las Vegas. It is possible, not yet definite, but possible, we will be speakers at Contact in the Desert. And there are other things like that that are just, it's since Lala's decided to come out of the closet, mm-hmm. this stuff is just exploding all over us. And all people need to do is look at her Facebook friends to see who is actually paying attention to her. And the list is huge and long. So we realized this is really going to grow.
Oh, yes.
So eventually we're going to put up a website with a calendar for her.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What email do you want? My email or your?
The business one.
Okay. Yeah. Lala Bright, Lala Bright, 4333@gmail.com. Lala Bright, 4333@gmail.com.
Excellent. Excellent.
Or they can contact us on
Facebook. Facebook and use Messenger, especially if people are desperate for readings, contact her through Messenger. She may or may not have time.
Oh, yes. I'm sure you have a ton. I know you have a lot of stuff going on. That goes without saying. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Well, thank you both very much for being my guest tonight. This has been wonderful. I've really had a great time. Learned a lot. This has been a very nice experience, and I look forward to talking with both of you again. Folks, this has been The Weird Part. I'm Vincent Trewell. My special guests tonight were Lala Bright and Bob McGuire, and we're going to be seeing them in the future. And thank you for listening. Good evening.